Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our Friday morning show from WRCO, we're here to talk about GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. And in the studio with us is Eileen Stevens, president of GRACE. Also joining us today is Michael Clary, Jones Chevrolet sales manager. We'll tell you why he's here in just a little bit. Good morning, Eileen. Good to have you in the studio with us today.
Good morning, Phil. It's always great to be here.
Yes, you recently had your annual meeting, and it sounds like things went really well.
We did. We had our 21 years making strides for a cure. It was our theme last year. And of course, we hosted it, or Phoenix Center hosted us up there for a lasagna and salad bar, which was really nice. It was a great change. People really enjoyed that. Had a nice turnout, had the doctors from UW-Carbone and Gunderson come in and talk and accept their checks. So it was a great day.
That's kind of one of the best days of the year. I know you have a lot of moments like that, but giving out the money to area worthy organizations has to be really gratifying, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. And the doctor or the researchers and the facilities are so appreciative, and you know, they share with us what they do with that. And Carbone was telling us that they did all their numbers and it was just short of $1 million that GRACE has done for research for them, plus, you know, Gunderson as well. So they are so thankful because they use that money to seed programs, to start some research and do some of that preliminary work. So then they can chase the money for the bigger research funds.
And every year they come back, they talk about something, a stride that has been made, you know, little by little. Hopefully we're getting there to find
the cure. Yes, they always have. And they present it to us. I mean, this time they don't do a lot of talk about their research. In spring, they'll do that. So I highly encourage people to come out for the spring kickoff because they really go into some detail as to what they're doing. But they present it in layman's terms so we can understand it. They're not using the big research and stuff like that. And it's fascinating. It just gives you chills.
Your board, has that changed or will it be changing for the next year?
Yes, we just added two new board members into our group. We added Tori Hill has joined the board of directors, and also Patricia Myers. So we do still have a couple board openings. So if anybody's interested in participating in something that, you know, makes a difference and they can feel good about, we did put in term limits so people don't have to look at it like, I'm never going to get off this board. We do, in, you know, that way we always have fresh blood coming in, new ideas, and growing all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking ahead toward the new year. Does it start now? I mean, now that the annual meeting has ended, Eileen?
Yes. We start our new year. It starts in 2023, so it's always like 2023, 2024. And then after the walk, we wrap up that year, and then we start our new year.
You're looking at some special events going on. I know Alan Kaczubski is looking at bringing back the walk run in the spring, isn't he?
Yes, that was such a huge success. And I know Alan will probably be here next month talking more about that. They're already planning it. Of course, you have a great event. That's what it takes, is you got to start planning early. And it's just going to grow. He just did a fabulous job with that. And it takes the community to make it work. He has a great team of volunteers that put that together.
As we mentioned and teased a little bit, you had a big announcement the other night at GRACE meeting. Could you share with us what was announced?
We did. So GRACE is excited to partner with Joneses, which we can, you know, bring Joneses into this. And they're going to be part of our 2025 fundraiser. And we've shared expenses to bring in, to promote an item that we'll be selling tickets for starting in January. And we can talk a little bit more about that. I think I'll let, you know, Michael share what Joneses is doing and why they got involved in this. So I'll let him give that announcement. If people were at the meeting, of course, they do know. So kind of the rumors are out there of people sharing. But we're excited, very excited.
Yeah, you bet. That kind of adds a new thing for GRACE, much like the ATV did a couple of years ago, too.
It did, yes. And that's why we said, you know, bring new people in, new ideas, a new energy, and it's really making a difference. So
Michael Clary is here, Jones Chevrolet Sales Manager. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thanks for having me today.
Well, good to have you in here. This is an exciting announcement. Tell us what Joneses is partnering with Grace.
Sure. Eileen reached out to me a few weeks back and asked if there'd be a possibility that Jones Chevrolet would be willing to assist and help out. So we decided that we were going to help out with donating a 2025 Chevrolet Trax RS model vehicle to the Grace organization and see how much money we can help them raise this year. So
that is awesome. And something that's not real common these days, is it?
No, it really isn't. When Eileen reached out, it was one of those things that, you know, trying to figure out an idea or what might work. It was a perfect vehicle for the organization. It was something that we feel is going to help bring some money to the organization. So, yep.
It wasn't a 96 Buick you had parked in the back or anything, right?
No, it wasn't one of those. No.
A brand new car then.
Yep, brand new Trax. Part of the other idea, too, was if we're going to do this, we want the vehicle to pop. We want it to be sharp. We want everybody to know what vehicle is out there for Grace. I reached out to Sierra Makovic out at BL Signs. She's done some wraps for us on some other vehicles, and she put together an amazing design. If anybody's seen it, it looks amazing. The design that she brought to us, we figured would look good on a blue vehicle, so that's the color of the vehicle. We can't wait to see it when it's all finished. So we think it's going to look really good.
Really spectacular, Eileen, because you've captured the butterfly on the wrap that is going to be on that car as well.
It is. What Sierra put together, I mean, Mike sent her this stuff. She has the information from Grace, and so she used the colored butterfly. She incorporated the color scheme to match the butterfly. Once we have all her design, of course, we'll have that out there and publish. But it's just, it's fabulous. It's beautiful.
It's going to draw attention to itself just when you drive it down the road and in some of the parades coming up and everything, isn't it?
You bet. Yeah, we're going to be working to get together. We're just talking about that out in the lobby, that, you know, getting together a list of events. And we want to tell the community, too, if you have an event, a fundraiser, a parade, whatever in your community, let us know, because we'd love to bring the car down and, you know, have the opportunity to sell tickets and share it and get it in the parades and...
Give me your salesman wrap on the Trax there. What kind of car, you know, what does it feature, Michael?
It's a small crossover vehicle. This particular one is an RS model, so it isn't just your base entry-level model. Power windows, locks, air tilt, cruise, which are all those standard features that you like to have on the vehicle. This one is marina blue, which really pops. It's not your typical white vehicle or black vehicle. It's a really neat color. And with this butterfly design, the Grace logos and things that are going on it, you're going to see this car coming from a long ways down the highway. So.
That's awesome. Do you sell a lot of Trax?
We do. It happens to be one of Chevrolet's main moving vehicles right at the moment. Entry-level price comes in at around $23,000. So it's one of those vehicles that's good for a first-time buyer. It's also one of those that... isn't so expensive on the pocketbook when we start looking at some of the $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 stuff, but it's a beautiful vehicle, especially for a small family or a individual. So
is it pretty fuel efficient?
Very fuel efficient. Gets into the mid thirties for fuel mileage. It's a wonderful car. So
I love the color, and I was just reading the other day, the number one favorite color is white for car buyers across the country. That really surprises me.
It does me, too.
Does it?
Although white is one of those colors that's easy to keep clean. It can be filthy, dirty, but yet still looks fairly clean.
That's part of it, and having owned some darker vehicles like a black car, that's like one of the worst in terms of showing dust as well.
Yep. So. Especially in Wisconsin winters.
Yes, exactly, right. So this is really exciting news here, and the Trax is going to be in then? You guys are going to get it ready to roll here pretty soon?
Yep, we have the vehicle in already.
Okay.
It's sitting down on the lot right at the moment. Sierra out at BL Signs is supposed to be contacting me here in the next week or so. She had a couple other wrapped vehicles that she needs to get done, but as soon as she's ready to go, we'll get it out to her and get it set up, so hopefully we can get it out to the public and visible here soon. So
drive it around to some parades and things like that, then it sounds
absolutely
like. And, yeah. Good deal. I guess I just commend you guys at Jones Chevrolet, because you just get involved in so many community things, Michael.
I tell you what, working for a family-owned business. It's been around for 102 years now. Some of the stuff that I've seen over the years and involvement that the dealership gets into, it's truly amazing, especially in a small-town community like Richland Center. So.
Yeah. Yep. And it goes back. I remember Don real well and his dad, too. I mean, they were just involved in everything you could be involved in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that tradition continues, doesn't it?
Yes, so. It does. Yep.
Good. So you guys are looking to the future then at Jones's? Anything coming up in the future you'd like to talk about?
Any changes or? No major projects or anything like that in the future. Just working on selling some vehicles and doing our best there to finish out the year here. So.
Yep. Good deal. And lots of times with these cars, you know, obviously, if you don't win it, maybe somebody's going to buy one somewhere along the line.
Right? Exactly. it's getting out there, getting visible. And it's the 25 Trax. The Trax just came out here a year ago. It's been a popular vehicle and getting a few more eyes on it. Maybe somebody will stop in and purchase one too. So
what's interesting in your business, though, and it's not a good thing, but cars are so much more reliable than they used to be.
They really are. They really are. It used to be one of those things that you saw 80, 90, 100,000 miles, you better be getting rid of your vehicle. But now we're seeing vehicles well over that range. So, yeah, they've been a lot more reliable.
And they run further than they did and that kind of thing. Makes salesmen kind of lonely sometimes. Like the Maytag repairman, right?
Right, yep.
Well, the next question, Eileen, is, how are people going to be getting a chance to win this beautiful Chevrolet Trax?
So we will be kicking it off in 2025. So, of course, teams can't be selling tickets or taking money prior to that time. But once that comes around, we will let teams know, businesses know, whomever would like to sell tickets to have them available for them. And we'll always have a supply available in the Grace office. So if they sell what they have, they can turn those in. We can get some more out to them.
Approximately, I know you haven't set the ticket price yet, but probably in the same range as the ATV tickets.
Right, and we'll be talking about that at our November board meeting because we have to get the tickets printed, of course. So we were tossing around numbers such as $20 a piece, 6 for 100, or $25 a piece, 5 for 100. So very similar to what we did with the ATV.
Yeah, and I know that went really well. Somebody from Mauston won it, so
yes,
you just never know, do you?
You never know. Yeah. Never know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Some other things that you like to talk about. You guys, I know, expanded your service area last year, and I think that's gone over really well, hasn't it?
It has. We reached out because initially it was all of Richland County, and then there was a few townships that touched us that were included. But then we discussed it, and it's like, well, instead of picking and choosing which townships, why don't we just make it every township that touches our borders, we will include in our service area. So, you know, that brought in, like, Boscobel. And so they can come in, and, you know, they have the Boscobel Hospital down there. They have their whole community that now they can do events. They can raise funds. They can ask for support if their community members need support. So it's very nice to be able to reach out to all those extra communities and get involved in their community as well in the events they have.
You mentioned new board members, but I know you'd like to have representation from some of those areas, the outlying areas, coming into the Grace Board, wouldn't you?
Most definitely, yes. I mean, if we could reach out and get people, you know, Viola, they have their horse and colt show, we go up there. If we could, you know, get representatives from, you know, Spring Green or Viola, Boscobel, Casanova does a huge fundraiser for us. Bring, you know, somebody on the board, represent from that area as well.
The board doesn't meet a whole lot of times, does it?
No, we don't. We meet the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 7:30. Sometimes we go a little over, but, you know, because we always want discussion to take place. But we keep focused on the agenda so people don't have to feel like they're going to be there all night at a meeting, that we can just keep it focused, get the job done, and then they choose to socialize and hang out afterwards. That's that's perfectly fine.
Yes. And what's been interesting over the years, too, is I know people have a lot of ideas and, like, oh, you know, ways to maybe improve things, which is great. But that being said, you had a great year this last year and made about the same amount of money as the year before.
We did. We had a fabulous year. When you look at it, we did $313,993.50.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was a fabulous year. We didn't do anything extraordinary. We didn't have a live auction. We didn't have any, you know, like next year we're doing the, last year we did the, eight or 2 years ago, ATV. Next year we're doing the car. We didn't have anything big like that. We didn't do a Facebook auction. We didn't do a fall raffle. took all of that out of the equation, and we still did $313,000. And that's just the tremendous support of the community and the businesses in our service area.
Never ceases to amaze me because, you know, this area is not the highest paid individuals in the state of Wisconsin, obviously, but people dig deep, don't they?
They do. They just have big hearts. They know the money is going to what it's supposed to be going to. They're, you know, it's in the community. And when I say community, I am talking the greater Richland area. I'm talking all our service area, the townships that touch us. It serves us locally. And people see that. They know that. We're out there talking with people, and they'll say, oh, I received services from Grace. It was so nice. We got a card in the mail the other day. We were out at the Viola Horse and Colt Show doing the parade, handing out flyers, and you know, we'd stop and we'd talk to people. And one individual we talked to was so impressed and taken by what we did, they sent us a check in the mail as a donation. Because wow. And there it is. I mean, it's our service community, but there's still so many people who do not know who we are and what we do, that we've got to keep getting out there and keep talking to people and share as much as we can. We can never assume that people know, or people will, you know, thank us. Well, as the board members, we don't know who's receiving our services. So we'd never want to appear to be rude or that we don't care. But just so people know, we do not know who's collecting our services. We have a committee that reviews the application. Joanna Mell takes them in, she reviews them, makes sure they're eligible, and then even the committee that she works with do not necessarily, they don't know the names. So, you know, anybody could be getting the service. I could be talking to them and not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very important to keep it anonymous like that,
right,
too.
Right, it does, and that way, you know, we're not judging on person's income or, you know, where they live or what they do, what they drive, whatever. It's totally the diagnosis that they have, and are they eligible to receive the services.
What's interesting, too, is teams start those fundraisers, and in fact, your team continues with a fundraiser all year round, doesn't it?
Yes, we do. Our team, the Team Crusaders, does fundraising all year long. Other teams do fundraising all year long as well, and we just ask that people support each other. And, you know, when I see a team is having a brat stand somewhere, I'm going to go there. I'm going to support that team. And because it's all a common cause, it's all coming back to Grace. But yeah, I mean, we're already starting the vendor fairs, we're starting the bake sales, our people call us to order, and it just all goes to Grace. It's just a common cause and support each other where we can. Mel's Microbrewery just did a car show. They don't specifically have a team, but they just donated the 50-50 raffle to Grace, which was wonderful.
Tell us what your team, Team Crusaders, does, though, during the year. You have sales, right, of food items?
Right, yeah, that's one thing. Our family does a lot of baking and cooking, so, you know, we'll have people call us and say, hey, I've got a baby shower coming up. Can I get some decorated cupcakes or cookies? Or somebody else is like, oh, it's getting to be the cold season. I need homemade noodles to make the soups and stuff like that. Yeah, we do the cheesecakes and the decorated cookies, or you just need a pan of scotcheroos and you need it for the school football team. You know, we'll take care of that as well. So
that's awesome. Michael, speaking of which, I believe Joan Chevrolet is going to be organizing a team again.
Yeah, it's been a number of years since we had a team. As soon as Eileen reached out, a couple people in the office were like, hey, we should jump back in and do another team again this year. So we're excited to get that up and going. Hopefully we can help out as much as we can. So
yeah, that's awesome that you're doing that, throwing your hat back in the ring there again.
And yep. So, yep. Yeah. Hopefully more people do that, too.
Yes. Yep. We'll kind of drum up some support there, too. Anything else you'd like to add about the car or the upcoming raffle?
We're just extremely excited to do this. The Grace organization, we know that it touches a lot of people in the community. It's personally touched my family, some coworkers. So we're extremely happy to help out as an organization of Joan Chevrolet. So thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity, and we're excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, we're excited too. I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing year. So, and that's, I just want to tell teams or businesses, you know, they're doing anything to raise money for Grace, like at Mel's Microbrewery. I brought out the big check so we could have their picture taken with the big check. And you've heard me say this before, I don't care if it's the little kid with the lemonade stand that raised $12.32. I will bring that big check out to them. If it's going to Grace, I will bring that check out, because that's just as important as any other corporate donation.
And do you have a place where you publicize events for Grace then too?
Right. If somebody is, if a team or an organization is having an event and they've created their flyer, they can send that flyer to us. And we can share that on our Facebook page. Alan's really good about getting that out there to let people know. And you'll notice our team members, different teams will be sharing that, or board members. They'll see that post, they'll share it on their Facebook page. And of course, that's what makes it blow up and gets the word out there.
This tracks, you're going to get it all wrapped and everything is going to be on display at Jones's before it's out and about in the street?
As soon as we get it back from Sierra, we're going to put it on display at Jones's. I know that we have a gentleman down there that does a lot of work on Facebook and TikTok and things like that. So as soon as it comes back, you'll start seeing stuff on it. So.
Good. We look forward to that. Yep. Anything else either you'd like to add here today?
No, I'm just thrilled to death. I'm glad Jones has jumped in and presented this opportunity, and I think we're going to have a great year with it.
It's going to be a fun thing. It's exciting news to kick off the new year and get everybody kind of reinvigorated, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Michael, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate it.
You bet. Michael Clary, who is a sales manager at Jones Chevrolet. Eileen Stevens, president of Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, in the studio today with some exciting news. On a morning show today from WRCO, we're going to talk about the Richland Area Food Pantry, and Jerry Bauer is in the studio to do just that. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm just fine, Phil. Thanks for inviting me.
Good to have you here and talk about the food pantry. It's always a timely topic in our community. I guess maybe we could start out talking a little bit about the last few years. You know, going back to 2020, was it a little bit of a struggle for the pantry that year?
Right, it was. And of course, the key thing was that the economy essentially got shut down. And one of the regulations was that anybody 60 and older should stay home. Well, you look at the food pantry, that's all of our volunteers. The food pantry would be closed out. But we limped along for a couple of weeks, and then we got things worked out. Interestingly enough, there was a hidden advantage, I guess, in the shutdown, in that grandsons and granddaughters of our volunteers weren't able to work, and so they came and volunteered at the pantry. And so for a couple of weeks, they kept it operating. We operate the food pantry every Wednesday afternoon at the Lighthouse Chapel, and the time for that is at 4 o'clock it begins the distribution, and at 5:30 they cut off the distribution. They serve whoever is in line at that time, but they don't allow any additional people to come in. And it's a long day for our volunteers. They start around 8 or 9 in the morning, and it's oftentimes at 6 or 6:30, and sometimes even later by the time they get done.
I think one of the things that the positive things that did come from COVID, though, is, you know, the drive through and some of those things that actually worked out for you, didn't it?
That's right. And interestingly enough, one of the problems with the drive through is you get the information out in the parking lot. How do you get it to the volunteers inside so that they can prepare the food and get it out to the right car and that sort of thing? It turned out that we had a few, I'll call them tech geniuses, and they got to work on trying to make an electronic registration system, so we could, and it took a few months to work the bugs out of it, but it's going splendidly now, and we can gather a great deal of information through the system, and we keep track of every one of our clients and how often they come, and once in a while we do some surveys and find out how they feel about the pantry. And so just recently, we did a survey where we asked them if there were things that they thought they could use more of that we didn't seem to have. And we also asked them if there was anything that there was too much of, that they got too much. And interestingly enough, mac and cheese was one of the things that they mentioned that there was too much of.
Really? Okay.
Really. And things that were in short supply as far as the clients were concerned were meat and eggs, dairy and eggs, and that's understandable because Second Harvest even has been having trouble getting some of those things.
Could you take a look at some of the numbers for our audience? You know, because I know that usage has been up at the Richland Area Food Pantry, hasn't it?
Yes, I can. This is comparing 2022 to 2023. And in 2022, we served 2,555 families or cars. And in 2023, we served 3,475 families. That was a 36% increase. I've got numerical dyslexia.
Yeah, I do too sometimes. But those numbers are up, and I'm guessing 2024 is probably in that same range.
Yes, we're ahead. It's not as larger, as dramatic as those numbers, but through 8 months, we're up about another 11 or 12% in terms of the operation of the pantry. In 2022 through March, we were serving about 50 to 55 families every week, and that was certainly very doable, and we can handle that very well. And then things really started to kind of kick in, and people started to come to the pantry. And before we knew it, we were serving 72 families per week. And so that was almost, well, four pantries, and then you've got another pantry in there if you look at it in terms of the actual numbers. And sometimes people ask us, well, what is the reason that that the numbers are up so much? And we say, well, it's just that people perhaps have been living right on the edge of their paychecks, and inflation and some other things have happened, or somebody gets sick and can't work for a while, and it just tips them over. And that's the kind of information that we are able to get from the check-in system and talking to people. And it's amazing. But every week, there are some people who register to use the food pantry, and they tell us that, well, years ago we were regulars, and we were able for a long time, for a few years, to be able to get along ourselves, but we can't do it. We can't do it anymore. We just kind of got tipped over the edge. In terms of inflation, I want to mention before I forget to do it that the food pantry will not be supplying holiday meals this year at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. We started way back in the summer looking for hams and turkey breasts, and we shopped and shopped and shopped, and we got some pretty spiffy shoppers in among our volunteers, and they just could not find a supply that we could afford, quite frankly. And indeed, at our recent board of directors meeting, we've decided that we have to begin to try to cut back on our food expenses, because we're getting to the edge of our budget as well. And so we have to try to be responsible and stay open for people. And so that's one of the things we're going to do is begin to cut back on things. And we're
stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Whether you live in a rural area, small town, Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, or full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Today's forecast calls for a high of 68 with a bit of sunshine through the clouds. South to southeast winds, 12 to 22 miles per hour and gusty. Tonight, variable clouds and breezy, a low of 55. Tuesday, low 80s. Very warm for this time of year. And Wednesday, 77 with some shower chances on Wednesday night. Currently in Richland Center, it is 43.
Attention Express Scripts patients of Boscobel and Center Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies have become aware that some of you have received notices stating you're out of network. Please don't worry. They're here to address any concerns. If you have questions, reach out to them directly. Rest assured, this situation is resolved and there will be no interruption in services to you. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies apologize for any confusion and appreciate your understanding during this process. Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy thank you for trusting them to care for you.
I'm Phil Neen for WRCO News. Wisconsin election officials are reporting a nearly 40% increase in early in-person absentee voting over 2020. Early in-person absentee voting began last Tuesday in the battleground state. The Wisconsin Elections Commission announced that as of Friday morning, 292,702 people had voted early in person, compared with 209,665 as of Friday morning. October 23rd, 2020. The commission says voters have requested nearly a million absentee ballots, with 715,395 returned by mail or in person early voters. Early in person absentee voting continues through Sunday, November 3rd. Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde has repeatedly defended his self-professed lack of knowledge about the U.S. Farm Bill in the campaign's closing days, after first saying in a debate that he is not an expert on the legislation that is vital to farmers in the state known as America's Dairyland. Hovde's repeated comments in the past week come after the incumbent, Senator Tammy Baldwin, secured the endorsement of the usually Republican-aligned Wisconsin Farm Bureau. She is the first Democratic candidate for statewide office to receive it in more than 20 years. Both Hovde and Baldwin say the race is razor thin, with possible majority control of the Senate on the line. More focus on Wisconsin this week from the presidential campaigns. On Wednesday, just 6 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison and former President Donald Trump in the Green Bay area. Trump is scheduled to host a rally at the Resch Center in Ashwaubenon, joined by former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The Republican candidate's remarks are scheduled for 6 o'clock, and a campaign advisory suggests he'll address issues related to the economy. Vice President Harris will be on the University of Wisconsin campus for a Get Out the Vote concert and rally featuring musical artists including Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, and Remy Wolf, and members of The National. The rally starts at noon and is scheduled to end by the time Trump takes the stage in Ashwaubenon. In addition to the Wednesday events, Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance campaigns in Racine today, while First Lady Jill Biden and Gwen Walz, wife of Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, will be in La Crosse. Donald Trump returns to the state on Friday for a rally at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, site of this year's Republican National Convention. Despite an increase in state aid this year, residents of 14 Wisconsin municipalities are being asked to approve property tax increases, including five in Dane County. Wisconsin Policy Forum President Jason Stein says state aid did go up substantially in 2024, but communities with high property values, like those in Dane County, didn't get a lot from that increase. It tended to be more smaller communities with low property values that really cashed in on that increase
increase in state aid. Voters in the city of Madison, Fitchburg, Monona, and Middleton, and the village of Maple Bluff are being asked to approve property tax increases totaling nearly $30 million in order to cover costs for services and staffing. The largest local referendum outside of Dane County is in Stevens Point, where voters will be asked to approve a property tax increase of just under $1 million in order to hire more firefighters. As the state superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underley, points out, she's requesting universal free school meals in the latest budget.
As part of her 2025-2027 biennial budget request, Underley is asking for almost $294 million to make sure students statewide have free breakfast and lunch. Under the proposal, the Department of Public Instruction would create a new supplemental nutrition aid program offsetting breakfast and lunch costs to students and families for meals received while at school. Underley is also asking for $6.1 million to expand the state's school breakfast program to including independent charter schools, residential schools, and residential child care centers. $10 million would go towards strengthening food supply chains by encouraging districts to buy directly from local farmers and producers. According to the DPI, one in four Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to a lack of food in their home. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
More people are working in Wisconsin, according to new numbers from the Department of Workforce Development. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Preliminary employment estimates for September show Wisconsin with a 2.9% unemployment rate. This is 1.2 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4.1%. According to the Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin's labor force increased by 6,700 over the month, achieving a record high number of 3,059,700 employed. This is the fifth straight month of record employment, highlighting the unprecedented number of workers participating in Wisconsin's economy. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
As the tax season approaches, the IRS is encouraging you to sign up for an Identity Protection Personal Identification Number. Spokesperson Christopher Miller says it's an extra layer of security that helps prevent people from filing a tax return using your name and Social Security number and then stealing your refund. Miller says people should sign up for a PIN by November 23rd so they can get it in time for tax season. More information is available online at irs.gov.
BL Signs, located near Richland Center, is a full-service sign design and construction company dedicated to crafting all types of interior and exterior signage. Known for high-quality custom work, BL Signs offers competitive pricing and reliable on-time delivery. From electronic message centers to interior door signs, they handle it all, tailoring solutions for large and small businesses and everything in between. For all your signage needs, trust the experts at BL Signs, 647-0149 today.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 68 with bits of sunshine. It will be a little windy again. South to southeast winds 12 to 22 and gusty. Variable clouds and breezy tonight. A low of 55. Tomorrow's high 81. Possibly some heavy rain coming up on Wednesday night this week. Right now, southwest winds are at 4 miles per hour. And that's after a low of 34 this morning. We're already up to 43 degrees.
Hey, Amy, make sure that gas tank is topped off.
Why's that?
Elizabeth Grabe wants to ban gas-powered cars, trucks, and even tractors.
That's insane.
That's not all. Extremists like Elizabeth Grabe are trying to eliminate fossil fuels, too.
That would destroy so many jobs, hurt our community, and drive costs even higher for families.
She doesn't care.
We need to keep Elizabeth Grabe out of the assembly.
I'm voting for Todd Novak. He's an independent voice, always working for us.
Paid for by Novak for Assembly.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Sports Time today is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at a recap of the local weekend sports and also details coming up as we look ahead at high school sports for this week. The Packers enjoyed a win yesterday. The Bucks a loss last night.
LS tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Dean for WRCO Sports. Sectional cross-country meets were held over the weekend on Friday at Black River Falls. Richland Center Ithaca had strong races and personal bests. The team had three runners qualify for state for the second year in a row. This year, Ryan Stadler and Clayton Lee will be going to state for the second time, and Grace Fretz will be competing for the first time. The state cross-country meet will be held this weekend in Wisconsin Rapids. WIAA Girls Regional Final Volleyball matches were held on Saturday night. Ithaca was a winner in five sets over Ithaca. Over that is Seneca. Ithaca with a win, 15-13, the final score in the fifth set. The Bulldogs will take on Royal coming up on Thursday night after Royal's win over number one seed Highland. Also going on in volleyball this week, Barneveld will be hosting Belmont in Division 5. In Division 4, Mineral Point will be taking on Hillsboro at Hillsboro after both enjoyed victories over the weekend. And quite a match. Richland Center came within an eyelash of moving on to the sectional, but fell to number one seed Aquinas by a score of 16-14 in the fifth and final set on Saturday night. Aquinas will take on Cuba City in a big match coming up on Thursday. Edgewood will host Mount Horeb in Division 2. WIAA tournament soccer over the weekend. River Valley lost on Saturday 2-0 to St. John's Northwestern Chesterton Academy of Milwaukee. St. John's takes on Lodi in the next round. And WIAA tournament football will continue this weekend. It's level two. The Ithaca Bulldogs travel to Johnson Creek after a hard-fought win over Randolph 7-0 on Friday night. Other teams advancing. Potosi-Cassville takes on Cochran-Fountain City, and River Ridge will be at Bangor among the games. Cuba City will be at Lancaster in Division 6, and Marshall will host Belleville. And also in Division 5, Prairie du Chien hosts Brookfield Academy, and Milwaukee Academy of Science will be at Darlington among the games. On the state scene, for the second time in 2 weeks, the Packers have won a game on a last-second field goal by Brandon McManus. The three-pointer was set up by a 51-yard pass from reserve quarterback Malik Willis to Jaden Reed. The 30-27 win over Jacksonville was Green Bay's fourth in a row. The Jaguars had wiped out a 10-point margin in the fourth period before that drive. Packers starting quarterback Jordan Love is expected to miss action after suffering a groin injury. Running back Josh Jacobs did the heavy lifting with 127 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Green Bay will host NFC North rival Detroit coming up on Sunday, and that should be a banner game. Also in action from the NFL yesterday, Arizona 28-27 over Miami, Atlanta 31, Tampa Bay 26, Cleveland 29, Baltimore 24, Detroit 52, and Tennessee 14, Houston 23-20 over Indianapolis, New England got by the Jets 25-22, Philadelphia 37, Cincinnati 17, Buffalo 31, Seattle 10, the Chargers 26, New Orleans 8, Denver 28, Carolina 14, Kansas City 27-20 over Las Vegas, San Francisco a winner against Dallas 30-24 in the game that was played last night. Cam Thomas scored 32, Dennis Schroeder 29, and the Nets beat the Milwaukee Bucks 115-102 Sunday in their home opener to give coach Jordy Fernandez his first victory. Milwaukee can't be fully evaluated until Chris Middleton is back from ankle surgery. Coach Doc Rivers said the longtime starter is getting closer and could take another step with a good practice this week, but he won't solve the perimeter defensive problems for a team that gave up 35 points to Chicago's Kobe White on Friday before getting burned by Thomas and Schroeder on Sunday. The Bucks visit unbeaten Boston coming up tonight in the second half of a back-to-back. The Nets will host Denver on Tuesday. And that is an update on sports today from WRCO and WRCE Radio on a Monday morning. I am Phil Nee.
100.9 WRCO.
We have set a goal of trying to reduce our expenditures by around $500 a month until we reach a number that we think is responsible and yet one that allows us to supply needed food to the community.
This time of year, with people kind of putting all their garden produce, you know, and canning and freezing and things like that. And also, we always get the question here at the studio, Jerry, about venison, too. Do you take donations for those kind of things?
Yes. We will certainly accept the venison, and the Richland Locker works with us on that, and so they process the venison, of course, and they allow us to store the frozen venison at the locker, which is very handy sometimes. Sometimes we're able to store it ourselves. We've got some room that's been allocated to us at the locker, and that's been very helpful over the years. Mm-hmm. And so it's a nice working relationship.
If somebody has veggies and things like that,
that's right. They can bring those in on vegetables. So I best to just bring them in on Wednesday, which is the day of the pantry. You can come in the door and go out the door in the afternoon, and somebody can enjoy them.
Recently, we had guests on from the Richland area Rotary Lights in the Park. Mm-hmm. And yes. I know the food pantry benefits from their donations, people that visit that and donate too, right?
That is correct. And there are others beside the Rotary Lights. We have a few big donors, big contributors, usually organizations, and we certainly appreciate that.
Sometimes, unfortunately, we only think about the food pantry maybe, you know, at holiday times and things like that, but there's a
correct
need all year, isn't there?
That's correct.
Some things, you know, coming up here toward the last few months of the year. Anything you'd like to add, Jerry, today in your visit about the food pantry?
Oh, well, one of the things that we've done at Second Harvest request direction is that we've taken and figured out the cost of a cart full of food. You know, how much does a meal cost that you get from the food pantry? And the number that we came up with tells us that in 2020 and 2021, each cart that went out, every meal that was in that cart was worth $7. What we found was in 2023, when we did a survey again, that cost had gone up to $10.37. And so that means that we were up $3.37 per meal. Multiply that times the number of clients, and we're talking about a little over $33,000 of additional expense that we have, and that has continued.
That's amazing. You don't think about it adding up that fast, but it truly does, doesn't it?
It does, and
it's probably not going to go down anytime soon.
No, it certainly probably will not. And Second Harvest is struggling along with the rest of the food banks. And of course, where we deal in hundreds and thousands of dollars, they deal in millions of dollars. And they're finding that grants are becoming scarcer. They're harder to qualify for, more difficult to get. And so Second Harvest has had to increase some of its handling fees, and it has had to initiate some new handling fees as well for some of the commodities. We know, for example, that at the beginning of the coming year, they will be charging a handling charge for eggs and for milk. And they've apologized and apologized and apologized, but they just said, we just can't carry it ourselves anymore. And so it's interesting that the things that the clients thought that we needed more of to distribute are the very things that are very difficult to get and expensive.
So give us the hours for the Richland community and the area food pantry, and then the Second Harvest. They're two different things. I think sometimes people get those confused.
Well, that's right. And the Richland Community Food Pantry at the Lighthouse Chapel is every Wednesday afternoon from 4 o'clock to 5:30. And we ask that people not come way too early and plug up the parking lot. And we also staff from some of our volunteers the mobile food pantry, which is held on the third Thursday of the month at the fellowship. And there, now that school is back in session, why you have to wait until, well, it's usually about 3:15, maybe as late as 3:30 before cars are allowed to come up the hill to the building and to pick up the food.
Such an important thing for our community. And
that is correct.
Hopefully people remember these organizations as we head toward the holidays, too, if there's any giving or things you want to do at the end of the year.
Well, that's right. And the bulk of our donations come in the last 4 months of the year, September through December. And I guess it's just the giving season, because that's when the holidays are, and you've got Christmas and you've got Thanksgiving, and you are reminded that sometimes you are very fortunate and, quite frankly, better off than some other people, and that may cause you to want to make a donation. And we certainly will be happy to receive that. You would just make the check out to the Richland Community Food Pantry and put that on the envelope, and then it's 345 South Cairns Avenue in Richland Center, of course.
Great. We hope a lot of people will do that. And you could always use volunteers, too, couldn't you?
Yes, we can, although we are well-staffed right now.
Are you? Okay.
And so we have a bit of a waiting list of people that want to volunteer, and we just currently don't have an opening. We need about 35 people to run the pantry each Wednesday, and we have just very faithful people. We've been told by outsiders that is one of the outstanding things about our pantry is that they said, you've got professional volunteers. These people treat this just as a job, and they're here every week and ready to go. And if they have to be away, most times they arrange for somebody else to come in and take their task and to do it. And It really is very smooth. It's not very often that we're shorthanded, but it does happen once in a while. Usually when some kind of flu bug or something like that's going around.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Unfortunately,
yeah. It
tells us that something else is happening in the community.
You're one of the few organizations that's been in recently that said you have enough volunteers, though, and there's a waiting list, because that's...
That is right.
You're lucky. You're very fortunate.
Yes, we are. Yes, mm-hmm. we are. And...
No doubt. Anything else you'd like to add today, Jerry?
No, I think we've just covered the things that I wanted to cover. I will stress that we would sure appreciate some contributions, and that would give us even maybe a little bit of a cushion so we're not as close to the edge from week to week and month to month. So far, so good. We're able to continue to operate.
Well, it's a real blessing for our community, and thanks for doing what you do, too, Jerry.
Thank you, too.
You bet. Jerry Bauer joining us on The Morning Show, talking about the Richland Community Food Pantry.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic, I know you often get questions submitted. I think recently you had a unique one.
We did, and this is the first time in the history of Pratt Chat that I actually had to look everything up and type out the answer to the question. If someone asked the really simple question, when you go to a cemetery, you always see cypress trees. But the question is, why? I thought, well, I don't really know. I had my own thoughts on it, but I actually did some research. And Ken Thee would be proud of me because I did a little history on this. Wrote it all up. And so it says, The graveyard cypress is one of the oldest classical mourning symbols used in the Eastern and Western societies, and its importance and longevity are just as timeless as the tree itself. In classical antiquities, the cypress was a symbol of mourning, and in the modern era, it remains the principal cemetery tree in both the Muslim world and Europe. In the classic tradition, the cypress was associated with death and the underworld because it failed to regenerate when cut back too severely. Athenian households in mourning were garlanded with boughs of cypress. Cypress was used to fumigate the air during cremations. It was among the plants that was suitable for making wreaths to adorn the statues of Pluto, who was the Roman god of the underworld. According to the Greek mythological lore, Cypros was a handsome young man who had a tamed sacred deer as his companion. One summer day, while the deer was sleeping, lying in the shade, Cypros carelessly killed it with a spear. The young man, full of despair, wanted to die. He asked heaven for grace to let his tears flow eternally. Apollo tried in vain to convince Cypros but he was inconsolable and wanted to end his life. The god took pity on the suffering youth and decided to relieve him of his misery. So he transformed him into a cypress tree from which mournful tears, which is the sap of the tree, will flow eternally like drops. The pointed nose of the cypress, which was fixed in the sky, would remind us of the spear which he had killed the sacred deer. The ancient Greeks, as a sign of mourning, hung cypress branches outside their doors after death of a loved one. They also decorated these with the bodies of their dead or buried them in funeral piles. Known as the mournful tree by the Greeks and the Romans, the tree was sacred to the fates and furies as well as the rulers of the underworld. The tree would be planted by a grave in front of the house or vestibule as a warning against outsiders entering a place corrupted by a dead body. Romans would carry branches of cypress as a sign of respect, and bodies of the respected were placed upon cypress branches previous to interment. It was for such reasons that this tree still survives in the Muslim world and in the Western culture. The cypress designates hope as the tree points to the heavens. Cypress trees are known for their ability to grow in any type of climate and are considered very resilient. In Iranian culture, cypress trees as well as olive trees come from heaven, while Greeks and Romans thought the tree was related to the god of hell. It was considered the cypress tree was a symbol of immortality and deathlessness, while later Celtics considered the cypress to be a symbol of the death. Celtic mourners would place their dead in the tree for burial, which would allow the deceased body to return to the plants to live again. Israeli researchers noticed that the cypress was considered sacred by the rulers of the underworld as well as fates and furies. The cypress became the laud cemetery tree thanks to his appearance, which inspired folklore. In the research, Daphne found that cypress trees were described as dark and gloomy and looked like they were able to express sorrow. The researchers also discovered that cypress would often be planted near graves or in the front yard of a home as a warning against outsiders entering a place corrupted by a dead body. Research also notes that the tree's needle's ability to withstand strong winds inspired people to compare it to the just man who preserved his virtue. The cypress has been a symbol of eternal life. It stays green year-round. Its wood is resistant to decay. It's always bearing fruit. It's fire-resistant, and shape seems to point towards the heavens. For these reasons, it is often planted in cemeteries. In days gone by, a solitary tree would be planted in a cemetery for a child and two trees for a couple. The expression to sleep under a cypress means to be dead.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at 608-647-4808 or visit PrattFuneralService.com.
Richland Center. The update at 7 is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, the car and truck people of Southwest Wisconsin.